Today, the useful signal is not one launch, one benchmark, or one security item in isolation. It is a pattern across all three. Agent orchestration, local inference, and consumer infrastructure are all getting more concrete, but the evidence still has to be handled with care.
Right. The lead is Open Multi-Agent, a TypeScript framework that describes itself as turning a goal into a task graph at runtime. Around it, we have a LlamaMotzi-AP maintenance fix, a hands-on local model hardware guide, an AMD inference performance post, and a security reminder from smart television app stores. The shared question is what these details should change in an operator's watch posture.
Give us the root before we go deep.
We will start with a short radar. First, Open Multi-Agent and what it claims about dynamic multi-agent workflows. Second, Llama Type-E and the small parser fix that matters because long reasoning loops can become operational friction. Third, two local inference economic stories. One about buying hardware for local models, and one about serving a current open model on AMD accelerators. Fourth, a security item about smart television apps turning devices into proxy nodes. Then we slow down on the agent orchestration story, because it is the clearest architectural question for a Hermes-style system.
Start with Open Multi-Agent. What actually changed here?
The source describes a TypeScript native multi-agent orchestration framework for node backends. The claim is simple but important. Instead of handwriting every graph node and edge, the user gives the system a goal. A coordinator decomposes that goal into a task graph. Independent work can run in parallel, and the results are synthesized at the end. It also says the plan is represented as data, which makes the workflow easier to inspect and replay than a hidden chain of model calls.
So this is not just another agent wrapper?
At least in the way it presents itself, no. The interesting part is the contrast with graph-first systems. Graph-first frameworks can be excellent when the workflow is known. Open Multi-Agent is aiming at a different posture. Build the task graph dynamically when the goal arrives. That is useful only if the decomposition is legible, the scheduler is deterministic enough, and the human can still see why work was split the way it was.
The Llama TIP item is much smaller. Why keep it in the radar?
Because small maintenance releases can expose practical failure modes. The captured release note describes a step fun chat template fix, trimming content parts before rendering so white space and reasoning content do not contribute to long reasoning loops in the wrong way. The important lesson is not that this changes model quality. It is that chat templates, reasoning content, and parser behavior are now part of serving reliability.
That sounds like a narrow bug fix.
It is narrow, and that is why it should stay a radar item rather than the main story. But narrow fixes matter in local inference. If a runtime sends messages through a template parser incorrectly, the visible symptom can be bad loops, strange latency, or confusing model behavior. Operators who run Llama.cap-based stacks should treat this as one more reminder that serving quality depends on the glue around the model, not only on the weights.
The local hardware guide is more practical. What is the useful takeaway?
James Aburn's local LM guide is valuable because it frames the hardware trade-off explicitly. The source positions roughly $2,000 is enough for meaningful local intelligence and speech to text experiments, while a much more expensive build with four high-memory workstation GPUs moves closer to the frontier of what can run locally. The practitioner discussion around it centers on the uncomfortable middle. People want more than commodity memory, but not a $40,000 box.
How should Chris read that against the existing local routing work?
As a qualitative hardware map, not as a replacement for benchmark data. The useful point is that VRAM remains the central constraint and the price bands are becoming clearer. A smaller machine may be good enough for local workers, transcription, routing tests, or offline experiments. A large multi-GPU system changes what you can load. But it also changes power, cost, heat, scheduling, and failure modes. The guide is a prompt for careful sizing, not a shopping command.
The wafer item makes a stronger performance claim. How cautious should we be?
Cautious, but interested. The post says the current GLM model was served on AMD MI3055X hardware at high throughput, including a reported node-level token rate and a single stream figure. The strategic point is not one number. It is the argument that performance per dollar is moving, and that AMD's accelerator stack may become more relevant as NVIDIA capacity stays expensive. The caveat is that company published performance posts need replication and workload matching before they change routing decisions.
The practitioner reaction asked about performance per watt too.
That is the right pressure. Performance per dollar is only one axis. For operators, performance per watt, memory capacity, software maturity, day zero model support, driver reliability, and engineering time all matter. The post itself acknowledges that newest model support on Rakim does not always arrive out of the box. So the watch item is AMD becoming harder to ignore, not AMD automatically winning every deployment.
The security item is not about AI directly. Why include it?
Because it is a concrete infrastructure risk story. The Hackaday write-up summarizes analysis of LG smart television apps with the striking claim that almost half of the examined apps contain proxy software that could turn the television into a node in a proxy network. Some apps reportedly frame the choice as either seeing frequent ads or allowing ongoing web indexing behavior. That is a useful reminder that low-trust app ecosystems can create network risk from devices people barely administer.
So the practical implication is inventory and segmentation.
Exactly. The lesson is not panic about every television. It is to remember that devices with app stores, weak review incentives, and permanent network access should not sit on the most trusted part of a home or office network by default. For a home lab operator, this belongs next to IoT segmentation, DNS visibility, and periodic review of what consumer devices are allowed to talk to.
The radar has agents, parser reliability, local hardware economics, accelerator economics, and consumer device risk. Why does Open Multi-Agent get the deep dive?
Because it is the item most likely to affect architecture choices. The other stories are important, but they fit existing watch buckets, runtime maintenance, local hardware sizing, accelerator economics, and device segmentation. Open Multi-Agent asks a sharper design question. When should an agent system do the workflow dynamically, and what safeguards make that useful instead of opaque?
Let us define the claim carefully.
The framework says a coordinator can take a goal and turn it into a task graph. That graph can expose independent tasks for parallel execution and then synthesize results. If true in practice, the value is not just convenience. It is a way to move from a vague instruction to a structured work plan without forcing engineers to encode every path ahead of time.
What is the first caveat?
Dynamic planning is only useful when the resulting plan is inspectable. If a system invents tasks but hides why it chose them, the operator gets a black box. The written source is encouraging because it describes the task graph as data. That suggests a path toward review, replay, logging, and debugging. Those are the features that separate orchestration from a pile of recursive prompts.
How does that compare with graph-first frameworks?
Graph-first frameworks ask the developer to declare nodes and edges up front. That can be safer and easier to test for stable workflows. Dynamic graph construction trades some of that predictability for flexibility. The trade is attractive and goals vary, but it increases the burden on validation, observability, cancellation, and permission boundaries.
Where would Hermes care about that trade?
Hermes already has tasks that decompose naturally. Research collection, source verification, evidence packet building, written synthesis, podcast scripting, rendering, publishing, and verification. Some of those edges are stable and should remain explicit. Others, like deciding which source lanes need follow-up, could benefit from dynamic planning if the plan remains visible and reviewable.
So the lesson is not to replace the whole workflow with a dynamic planner.
Exactly. The lesson is to identify where dynamic decomposition is valuable and where hard gates should stay hard. Publication should not be dynamically improvised. A manifest must exist, audio must validate, feed output must parse, and public media must match the intended bytes. A planner can propose work, but gates need deterministic proof.
What makes a dynamic task graph safer?
Several things. The graph should be serializable. Each task should have an owner, inputs, outputs, expected artifacts, and a clear success condition. Parallel tasks should not write the same file without coordination. The scheduler should record what ran, what failed, and what got retried. and the final synthesis should cite which task produced which evidence.
That sounds close to Kanban.
It is. The durable Kanban graph is a real-world version of this principle. It decomposes work into explicit cards with dependencies and handoffs. The question Open Multi-Agent raises is whether more of that graph can be created at runtime while preserving the same durability, reviewability, and artifact discipline.
Where can this go wrong?
The obvious failure is over decomposition. An agent can create too many tasks, each with vague outputs, and then spend most of the time coordinating its own paperwork. Another failure is underspecified merging, where parallel workers produce plausible fragments, but nobody checks contradictions, source quality, or whether the pieces answer the actual goal.
How do we prevent that?
By designing the merge step as a judge, not a stapler. The merge must verify coverage, detect overlap, reject unsupported claims, and decide whether more research is needed. For daily briefings, that means issue packets and audio gates. For code work, it means tests, diffs, and review. For security work, it means reproduction and disclosure discipline.
The source says mainstream model providers work out of the box and some integrations are opt-in. Why does that matter?
It indicates the framework is thinking about provider boundaries and dependency weight. Out-of-the-box support for common providers lowers friction. Optional peer dependencies for other providers, MCP or Aversal Bridge, avoid forcing every user to carry every integration. That is a reasonable architecture posture, as long as provider-specific behavior is still explicit in logs and configuration.
Provider behavior affects orchestration more than people admit. Do people admit?
Yes. Different models have different tool use reliability, latency, context handling, and cost. A task graph that treats every model as interchangeable can make bad routing decisions. A mature orchestrator needs to know which worker class should handle planning, retrieval, coding, summarization, verification, or speech generation. The graph is only half the story. Routing policy is the other half.
That connects to the local hardware stories.
The local hardware guide and AMD inference post both ask what work should run where. A local high-memory machine, a 4-GPU workstation, an AMD inference node, and a cloud frontier model are not substitutes. They are different worker lanes with different economics. Dynamic orchestration becomes more valuable when it can choose among lanes without hiding the reason.
Give a concrete example.
Imagine a briefing run. A cheap local model may classify feed items and remove obvious noise. A stronger model may write evidence packets or synthesize the final briefing. A deterministic script may validate an RSS feed. A TTS service may render audio. If a planner creates that graph dynamically, it still needs policy. What can be local? What must use a stronger model? What requires network access? And what must be verified before publication?
That is where memory enters the picture.
A dynamic planner needs stable memory about the system it is operating in. It should know the canonical wiki path, the podcast feed route, approved voices, delivery targets, and the rule that a written-only briefing is not a completed podcast. Without durable memory and explicit contracts, a flexible graph becomes a flexible way to forget critical constraints.
Open multi-agent, therefore, belongs near agent memory and durable knowledge.
Yes, but only as a bridge. The current item is about orchestration. The implication is that runtime planning will need durable state, scoped permissions, and artifact conventions if it is used in production. The evidence today does not prove that this framework solves all of that. It tells us the design space is moving toward dynamic task graphs.
What would raise confidence?
Hands-on evaluation would help. For example, run a small goal, inspect the generated task graph, verify parallel execution, see how failures are represented, test replay, test cancellation, and check whether synthesis preserves source attribution. Real examples with logs would matter more than another summary of the README.
What would lower confidence?
If the generated graphs are hard to inspect, if failures collapse into vague model prose, if tasks cannot be replayed, or if provider-specific behavior leaks into unpredictable results. Another concern would be if the framework encourages autonomy without giving operators strong boundaries around file system access, network access, secrets, and publication side effects.
This is why today's high signal should still be provisional.
Exactly. High signal means the item is worth reading now. Provisional means it should not rewrite Chris's architecture before testing. The right action is to bookmark it for a small spike, not to replace the existing Kanban workflow or daily briefing runner.
How does the Llama TIEP item sharpen the same lesson?
The Llama.cap fix shows that tiny formatting and parser details can have visible runtime effects. Agent orchestration has the same fragility. A small template, trim, or message shape error can cause loops, missing context, or poor tool use. So, dynamic planners need boring tests around message construction just as much as they need clever planning.
And the local hardware guide sharpens the operational lesson.
Yes. It reminds us that the worker fleet is constrained by hardware. A dynamic plan that assumes every task can use a frontier-scale local model will fail on ordinary machines. VRA, RAM, and unified memory are not abstract. They decide whether a worker can run at all, whether it can hold context, and whether TTS or inference jobs should wait.
The AMD item adds cost pressure.
Right. If performance per dollar improves on non-NVIDIA hardware, routing policy may change over time. But the caveats are important. Software maturity, model support, and engineering time can erase hardware savings. A good orchestrator should not chase headline throughput. It should record measured performance for the actual tasks Chris runs.
The security item looks separate, but it also speaks to orchestration boundaries.
A smart television app that quietly turns a consumer device into proxy infrastructure is a reminder that network permissions matter. Agent systems also run on networks. Giving a tool or worker broad network access should be a deliberate decision. Dynamic task creation must not mean dynamic permission expansion.
So the day's hidden theme is boundary discipline.
Yes, Open Multi-Agent is about task boundaries. Llama TIEP is about message shape boundaries. Local hardware is about resource boundaries. AMD inference economics is about deployment boundaries. Smart television proxy behavior is about network trust boundaries. The common lesson is that automation gets safer when boundaries are explicit and observable.
What should a Hermes spike test if Chris later explores Open Multi-Agent?
I would start with a toy but realistic workflow, collect three sources, summarize each, produce a merged evidence packet, and emit a final report. The acceptance test would not be whether the prose sounds good. It would be whether the task graph is visible. Independent steps are actually independent. Artifacts are named predictably, errors are recoverable, and the final report traces claims back to inputs.
Would you let it publish anything in the first spike?
No. Publication is the wrong first test. The first test should run in the scratch directory and produce non-public artifacts. Only after the planner demonstrates stable graph output, deterministic handoffs, and clean failure handling would it touch durable wiki pages, podcast manifests, or RSS feeds.
How should we compare it with existing Kanban?
Kanban is durable. The interesting architecture could combine them. Use dynamic planning to propose a task graph, then materialize important long-running or side-effectful steps as durable Kanban cards with dependencies.
That would preserve reviewability.
Exactly. The planner can be creative at the proposal stage, but the board becomes the source of truth for production state. That aligns with the daily briefing contract. Cron is only the trigger, and Kanban owns durable production until written briefing, script, render manifest, audio, and publication handoff are ready.
What about model routing inside that graph?
The graph should not just say call an LLM. It should specify the class of work, retrieval, extraction, synthesis, QA, code edit, shell command, TTS, or publication verification. Then routing can choose the right model or deterministic tool. Chris's preference for a unified, local, dense model matters here because consistency and tool reliability may be more valuable than chasing marginal model gains for every subtask.
Where does fresh RSS fit into this story? I'm got the mental listen down and play in the maybe asked 821, and it's the mental listen pabia. I was a better.
Fresh RSS is a source intake layer, not the editorial brain. The dynamic planner might decide which labels need inspection or which source families need enrichment, but it should still normalize candidates into the common schema before ranking. Otherwise, the planner can launder a high-quality but off-topic item into the briefing just because it has generic matching words.
Topic fit remains a first-class gate.
Yes. Broad labels can surface useful but awkwardly mapped items. The editor has to ask whether a story is actually about the requested topic or whether it merely shares vocabulary. For Open Multi-Agent, the topic fit is direct. For the AMD performance post mapped partly to governance, the fit is weaker and should stay framed as local inference economics.
The audio format adds another warning.
A spoken episode can pass a high-level gate and still contain raw page residue if nobody rewrites it for the listener. The dialogue step has to translate source text into clear claims. That is exactly what we are doing here, not reading raw release notes, not reading page chrome, and not pretending that extraction status is a story.
What should Chris read first?
Read Open Multi-Agent first if he wants an architecture lead. Read the local hardware guide if he wants practical sizing intuition. Read the wafer post if he wants to track AMD inference economics. Read the Hackaday security item if he wants a concrete reminder about consumer device network risk. The Llama TASP prelease is more of a watchlist item unless he is debugging StepFun-like chat behavior.
What should not be overinterpreted?
Do not treat Open Multi-Agent as proven production infrastructure from one source read. Do not treat one Llama TASP prelease as a broad local model performance shift. Do not treat a hardware guide as a benchmark. Do not treat a company performance post as neutral measurement. Do not treat a smart TV app store story as evidence about every device. Each item is useful inside its evidence boundary.
That phrase, evidence boundary, is doing a lot of work.
It should. The best daily briefing does not just say what happened. It says what the evidence supports, what it does not support, and what would change the recommendation. Today, the recommendation is to watch dynamic agent graphs. Continue measuring local inference with actual workloads, and keep consumer devices away from trusted network zones.
If we turn this into next actions, what are they?
For agent architecture, run a small spike before any adoption. For local inference, keep hardware claims tied to measured tasks and power constraints. For AMD inference, wait for replication or your own benchmark before policy changes. For smart television risk, review network segmentation and device inventory. For Llama.cap, note the parser fix if StepFun-style loops appear in local serving logs.
One thing I like about the dynamic graph framing is that it makes decomposition inspectable in principle.
If the coordinator emits a task graph as data, a human can ask why a task exists, whether it can run in parallel, what it consumes, and what it produces. That is much better than a long hidden chain of model calls where the only artifact is final prose.
But inspectable in principle does not guarantee usable in practice. You can one in deezer sue magation was stark. She had back out the rhyme anterstad you are also for sometimes to her clairs.
The graph has to be readable by engineers. If it is just a large JSON blob with vague task names, it will not help. Good task graphs need compact labels, explicit dependencies, artifact paths, tool permissions, and summaries of why each task exists.
That raises a user interface question.
Yes. Agent orchestration is not only back-end design. It needs a way for users to see the plan, approve risky steps, collapse low-risk details, and inspect failed nodes. Without that interface, dynamic planning can feel like magic right up until it fails.
The deterministic scheduler detail is important too. Evenhand? That was important.
A coordinator can be probabilistic while the scheduler remains deterministic. That split is healthy. The model proposes structure. The scheduler executes the structure under rules. If execution is deterministic and logged, retries become less mysterious.
Where should model freedom be highest?
In proposing decompositions, suggesting source queries, and drafting synthesis. Where should it be lowest? File writes, publication, credential use, deletion, and anything that changes durable state. Those steps need explicit contracts and verification.
The local hardware guide reinforces that planning should know physical limits.
A planner that launches too many concurrent local jobs can swamp memory or make the machine unusable. VRAM and unified memory are not abstract. They decide whether a worker can run at all, whether it can hold context, and whether TTS or inference jobs should wait.
That is why performance per dollar is never just a chart.
A chart can be directionally useful, but operators buy systems, not chart points. They care about power, cooling, drivers, available models, developer time, queuing, monitoring, and support. AMD getting better is important, but it must be judged through the whole operating stack.
What would a good future local routing benchmark include?
It would include throughput, latency, power, memory, headroom, model load time, failure rate, quality on Chris's actual tasks, and whether tool calling works reliably. It would also report how much tuning was needed to reach the result, because engineering effort is part of cost.
The smart television item reminds me that cheap devices can become expensive risk.
That is a good way to put it. A television app that offers convenience or fewer ads can quietly create bandwidth, reputation, and privacy risk. On a home network, that risk may be small but unnecessary. On a lab network, it is a reason to segment aggressively.
Would you block all smart television apps? And why isn't that?
Not necessarily. I would separate the device, restrict unnecessary lateral access, watch DNS and outbound patterns, and be skeptical of apps that monetize background network behavior. The practical move is controlled network placement, not dramatic unplugging.
This maps back to agents because agents are also networked actors.
Exactly. If an agent can browse, clone repos, call APIs, write files, and publish outputs, it is a networked actor with consequences. Permissions should be task scope. A dynamically created task should not automatically inherit broad powers just because the overall goal sounds important.
What about MCP and optional integrations?
Optional integrations are powerful, but each one adds a permission surface. If Open Multi-Agent or any similar framework connects to MCP tools, the graph should record which tool was used, why it was needed, what input it received, and what output affected the final result.
The watch posture for Open Multi-Agent is therefore specific.
Yes, watch for examples of real task graphs, tool permission handling, retry semantics, provider routing, MCP boundaries, and how users debug failed decompositions. Those details matter more than broad claims about autonomy.
The watch posture for Llama TEP is also specific, with KP as
watch whether parser and template fixes reduce real operator pain. If users report fewer long reasoning loops or cleaner step fun behavior, the release has practical significance. If not, it remains a narrow correctness fix.
The watch posture for local hardware is to compare claims against your own constraints.
Chris already has local routing preferences and benchmark history. A guide can inspire experiments, but the policy should remain evidence-based, run representative tasks, judge outputs with the same yardstick, and preserve the option to use frontier models when local workers are not good enough.
The watch posture for AMD is replication.
Exactly. If independent operators reproduce strong GLM performance on MI355X or adjacent hardware, and if software support is stable, the inference economic story becomes stronger.
The watch posture for smart television risk is vendor response.
If LG, app developers, or security researchers publish follow-up details, the story becomes more actionable. Until then, the safest practical action is generic, isolate consumer devices, and monitor unusual proxy-like behavior.
That gives today a coherent shape.
It does. The main story is not that agents are suddenly solved. The story is that orchestration, local inference, and infrastructure risk are becoming more operationally concrete. Concrete is good, but it demands measurement and boundaries.
Can we phrase the deep dive conclusion in one sentence?
Dynamic agent graphs are worth watching because they can make flexible work plans visible, but they should only enter production when the graph, permissions, artifacts, failures, and final side effects are all reviewable.
What would be an anti-pattern?
Letting a model create a task graph, execute broad tools, synthesize prose, and publish results without separate checks. That may feel autonomous, but it collapses planning, execution, and verification into one opaque loop. The better pattern is staged autonomy with explicit gates.
What is the best reason to experiment anyway?
Because hand-coded graphs can become brittle when goals change. Dynamic decomposition may reduce boilerplate and help systems adapt. The challenge is to capture that flexibility without losing auditability. That is a worthwhile engineering question.
What is the best reason to wait?
The evidence is still mostly source claims and early signals. Before adopting any framework, Chris should test it against a known workflow and compare it with current Kanban durability. If it cannot produce clearer artifacts or better recovery, it is not an upgrade.
So this is a watch and spike item.
Yes, read it now. Maybe run a contained spike later. Do not change production architecture today. That is the correct posture for a high signal but still unvalidated agent framework.
The same measured posture applies to every item today. A bots of stairs.
Note the Llama TAP fix. Bookmark the local hardware guide. Track the AMD performance story. Segment questionable smart devices. But keep decisions tied to reproducible evidence and actual operating constraints.
There is also a governance angle inside the agent story, even if it is not the main provider policy lane today.
Yes. A dynamic planner creates accountability questions. If a user asks for a result and the framework creates 10 tasks, who approved the risky ones? Which model saw which input? Which tool touched which file? Which step decided that evidence was strong enough? Those questions are not bureaucratic overhead. They are how an operator keeps a flexible system from becoming an untraceable one.
That matters for private code and private notes too.
It does. A graph that fans out over a private wiki, source repository, fresh RSS inbox, and publishing path needs stronger boundaries than a demo that runs over public examples. For Chris, the useful future is not just faster task creation. It is scoped task creation where sensitive inputs, write permissions, and publication rights are separated deliberately.
What is the smallest safe experiment?
Ask the framework to plan a workflow but not execute it. Compare the proposed graph with the current human design steps. If the graph names the right artifacts, dependencies, and verification gates, that is useful. If it produces generic tasks like research, summarize, and publish, it is not yet adding enough structure to matter.
And if the plan looks good?
And then run it against a throwaway target with no durable side effects. The win condition is not just a nice answer. It is a graph that can be inspected, a failure that can be recovered, and a final artifact whose claims can be traced. That is the standard a production agent should meet before it earns trust.
Bring this home. What should Chris do after listening?
Read Open Multi-Agent for the architecture idea, not as a production recommendation. Keep the Llama TP step fun fix in mind if local serving shows long reasoning loop behavior. Use the local hardware guide and AMD post as prompts for benchmark design, not as policy. Treat the smart television story as another reason to keep consumer devices segmented.
What would make tomorrow's follow-up stronger? I'd pipe to the smart ways are, how is to, right to the check.
Hands-on open multi-agent logs. Independent AMD performance measurements, maintainer or operator reports around the local hardware guide, concrete vendor response to the smart television proxy issue, and any Llama TAP user reports that show the parser fix changing real behavior.
Give us the single sentence.
Today's briefing says automation is becoming more structured and more local, but the trustworthy path is still the boring one. Visible task graphs, measured runtimes, explicit permissions, clean metadata, and network boundaries that do not depend on hope.
That is the July 4th briefing. The written artifact has the source links and reading queue. The next useful evidence is adoption, replication, and operator feedback rather than more summaries of the same items.
And that is the right ending posture, curious but not credulous. Ready to test, but unwilling to replace proven gates until the new system can show its work.